Welcome to the Irish Tech News Podcast, where we will bring you some of the most interesting interviews and features from the world of tech. Visit irishtechnews.ie and check out our podcast section to explore all of our previous episodes. You can subscribe to our podcast using whatever your favorite app or service is by visiting anchor.fm/irish-tech-news.
Hi everyone, just a quick favor to ask before we get going. Our podcast has gone from strength to strength lately, but we'd like to find out how we can improve. We've put together a short survey and we would love to get your feedback. Anyone who takes the time to give their feedback will be entered into competitions where they can win prizes such as smartphones, cameras and drones. So please visit irishtechnews.ie/podcast-feedback. That's irishtechnews.ie/podcast-feedback. Fill out the survey and to be in with a chance of winning one of those great prizes. Thanks for your time, and now back to the podcast.
Now today I have a very interesting guest, and you're going to find this conversation fascinating. My guest is Erica Stanford, who is the author of The Crypto Wars: Fake Deaths, Missing Billions and Industry Disruption. It's all crypto. Erica, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
So I guess we'll start off with people who are listening to Dublin City FM. They might go, crypto, it's that Bitcoin stuff, isn't it? So how would you describe the crypto world before we even get into your book? What is the crypto world?
Gosh, the crypto world, that's a big question. So part of it is that Bitcoin stuff. So that's the leading digital currency, which has really changed how a lot of the world and industry and governments and banks look at finance. The crypto world is much more than Bitcoin, which is sort of the leading dominant cryptocurrency. There's also thousands of other digital cryptocurrencies, some of which are good and have real use cases, and some of which have no use case or value whatsoever, and many of which are unfortunately also scams. So you've got what is fascinating in the crypto ecosystem. It's the most innovative, thriving area of technology that I can ever imagine. You've got people going, and sort of a real brain drain of people going from every industry to work in these startups that are just evolving and changing so fast, that are really changing how we're looking at money, how we're looking at payment, how we're looking at transactions. And that's everything from social media platforms to browsers to sort of wallets that store money and send it. So it's a really, really fast moving ecosystem of startups and companies that are looking at literally what is changing. We're super fast in payments and in sending money. And then around that ecosystem as well, you've got a whole load of people that are excited about sort of the trading of these volatile digital currencies. And then you've got everything from sort of security firms and that are working on improving the space and increasing security of how transactions are sent to, because it's an emerging technology and things are changing fast and it isn't yet regulated. You've also got a hotbed of opportunists taking advantage of that space and taking advantage of the hype and the volatility, and there are a fair share of sort of scams and Ponzi schemes and other hacks and other incidents that have affected the industry.
So I guess people who are listening who aren't involved in the tech industry and maybe who aren't involved with cryptocurrencies per se, what you said towards the end, all they might know about is the fact that it's a volatile industry. And there's a lot of people who are now trading these coins. So people who wouldn't ordinarily trade on the FX or anything, or they wouldn't do trade on stocks and shares. There's a lot of retail traders, people who actually say, oh, I'm going to buy some of that coin and then it's going to go up in value. Then I'll cash it out and then I'll buy something else. And so it creates a whole different sort of feeling. There's that kind of the feeling of what they call in the industry, the FOMO, the fear of missing out. And I guess you have... It's so people who aren't on the inside, all they think of it is price. Now it's far, far, far more than price. As we know, as you say, it's an ecosystem of innovative, interesting thinkers and inventors, but price is what people mostly see on the outside. And is that where your book comes in? The Crypto Wars, the Fake Deaths, Missing Billions and Industry Disruption. Is that mostly based on price Ponzi schemes or what have you looked at?
It's not based on the sort of the trading element of crypto per se. It's the crypto wars. It's looking at the sort of the dark side of the crypto space, a space that has perhaps been a little less spoken about so publicly. So it focuses on some of the biggest Ponzi schemes in the space, some of the biggest hacks, some of the shadier side of the industry. There was a whole period where just lots of opportunists sort of creating and starting projects out of thin air and selling these and often raising a lot of money, but really doing selling nothing but thin air and you know, making a lot of money and sometimes escaping and running away with that money afterwards. So it's really looking at some of the biggest sort of scams, hacks, exit scams in the space. That there is one where it's still assumed that the guy who disappeared with 250 million of people's money, that it's still assumed by the majority of people in the space that he did in fact fake his own death. There's still a few missing people who are, it's not known if they're dead or alive, but there's this billions of dollars that are still unaccounted for. So it's looking at some of the darker sort of more criminal side of crypto and of the space, and hopefully we'll make that a little bit easier to understand, sort of introduce people to the space, give an overview of how it happened, how things got so big and so bad and so salacious, and hopefully give people an understanding of the space and also understand what happened and how some of these scams got so big, so that people don't themselves end up falling for the scams themselves, because they are still so big. There's still so many scams going, there's new ones always launching. They're getting more sophisticated, they're getting more intelligent. So the scams are just affecting more and more people. So,
because interestingly, and I think what you're saying, because I should also earmark for the listeners that we are both work in this space, and we both are very pro blockchain and pro cryptocurrencies, and it's an amazing industry to work in. But there is this thing where there are the Ponzi schemes and the bad actors. But interestingly, because the price often influences people's interest in this space, it's been a bit up and down recently. Obviously, Elon Musk putting his oar in, saying he wasn't going to accept Bitcoin for his Teslas anymore. And of course, the price plummeting, but not only because of that, but other factors too as well. But a friend of mine rang me the other day, and I hadn't spoken to him in a while. And he missed call three times, and I rang him back and I said, what's going on? He said, is this a real thing or not? And a friend had invited him to join this club. It was in the cryptocurrency club. It was a name, I can't remember the name, but it sounded like other names. But you had to buy into the club, and then you bought licenses, and then you had accumulators, and then you had compound interest, and you had all these pyramids. Oh my goodness, are we getting a bit? And I was listening to him, and I said, forget the fact that the person is supposed to be selling cryptocurrencies. If they were selling milk cartons, would you not be worried by it? You know, if they were selling, you know, collectible toys, would you not find it a bit strange? There's a top person and there's all these layers, and you get, you know. And, you know, the sad thing was, he said, oh, but the person who wanted to bring him in was a good friend of his and a good person. And I said, I'm sure she is. But that's the horrible thing. Some of these scams, people want their friends to do well. They get involved and then they sell it to their friends and it all blows up. If the person who brings you in feels even worse. So I said, I'm not saying anything against your friend, but I did a bit of Googling. It had scam all over it, the per man.
Right.
And you're not going to do it. So there is that element. So maybe talk about some of the bigger scams that have been out there that people hear about and what happened. What tell me some of your juicy stories.
Well, that's one of the biggest problems that we've seen in the space, and they're still ongoing. And it's exactly what you mentioned, this sort of the pyramid structure of Ponzi schemes. And I think where crypto scams have gotten so big is the introduction of multi-level marketing with crypto. Now, multi-level marketing, it's legal in most areas. It's arguably legally grey. But it's legal, albeit one can question its ethics. I think the statistic I often hear is that about 99% of people that get involved in multi-level marketing lose money. And it's one of those structures where you're incentivized, anybody that you bring on, it's a method of selling things. So if you sell a product, vitamins or educational packages or whatever it is, you get very good incentives, you get very good commissions for everybody that you bring on, down in a sort of pyramid structure. So if I sell you something and you buy it, then I get a really big commission for you buying that off me. And then if you sell something to somebody else, I also get a commission, and that goes down multiple layers. So what happens in multi-level marketing is the first people that get in and build these sort of downlines and bring lots of people on get awfully rich, and they're the people at the top of the pyramid, and then they can make a lot of money. And then the people at the bottom of the pyramid who have, you know, still have to invest their money to be a part of the opportunity, where, and I say opportunity in inverted commas, they have to invest money to be a part of it, but there's nobody left to bring on. So they just lose out all of their money. And that happens across, you know, the vast majority of multi-level marketing, you know, promotions out there. But where it's got bad in crypto is because in some multi-level marketing systems, and what is needed for it to be, you know, legal, albeit still I'd say questionable, it is to sell a product, you know, sell vitamins or sell something. And whereas in crypto, where the scams got so big is they're not so much selling a product, but they're selling these sort of get rich quick packages. So you've got these really incentivizing sort of juicy commission structures designed to bring people in, and they're selling these packages where if you just buy this package, you've got these coins, and because it's a cryptocurrency that says, well, they'll double or they'll mine more, so you have lots more of these coins and they're going to go up in value. So if you buy a package now worth X, very soon it will be worth, you know, a large multiple of X. Or they have different offerings, but it's all the same sort of thing. It's all multi-level marketing on a total Ponzi scheme. They'll say, we've got this magical trading bot. They don't quite say it's magical, but they say, we've got this trading bot. So if you just send us your money, if you just send us your Bitcoin, we'll trade it for you, and you'll get guaranteed 1 or 2% return a day, or you'll get this guaranteed return every day. Or we've got Bitcoin mining equipment. So mining Bitcoin is quite difficult. It's a process by which cryptocurrencies are created. It's quite difficult, it's quite technical, uses a lot of energy, but, you know, people don't necessarily know that. So they say, we've got this mining equipment, so if you just send us your Bitcoin, just send us your money, we'll mine cryptocurrency for you, and then you'll get this guaranteed return. And it's a total Ponzi scheme in all of them. You know, they take in people's money, and of course the first people that get in, it pays out. Yeah. So they do well out of it, and they get the returns that they're promised, and so it looks legitimate. And how these scams have got so big, it's exactly like what you mentioned. It's not the scammers themselves really promoting the project, and of course they bring in good people who are good at marketing and good at multi-level marketing, who promote the scams, and, you know, some of whom know exactly what they're doing. Mm. And just want to get the money, others less so. But where they get so bad is you've got sort of normal innocent people falling for them, who invest their money, and, you know, it initially it looks good, so they invest their money and they get the returns that they were promised, and it seems good, you know, that they're getting higher returns, they're getting certainly higher returns than they ever would in their bank. All is paying out as they said it would, so they think it's safe, and then they bring in their friends and bring in their families, and you've got your religious leaders bringing in their congregations, you've got community leaders bringing in whole communities. But where they really get so big is that people sell it and promote it to people that they know, and people buy from these people because they trust them. So yes, partly there's the incentive to sell it on, because you get a really good commission and really good incentive structure for everybody that you bring on. But also a lot of people promoting these scams don't know that they're promoting a scam, because as far as they've seen, that they've invested and they've got the returns back themselves, so they want their friends and families and so forth to benefit as well, and that they don't know that they're promoting a scam. And, you know, initially they do pay out, and it's only when it hits a point when the sort of the Ponzi scheme buckles that the money stops coming in, and then they stop paying out, and then, you know, all of the last people in lose their money. Mm. But often they get quite big, and we've seen several of these Ponzi schemes get into the, you know, the multiple billions of dollars before collapsing, and still, you know, some of them years after they've been classified as a scam and years after law enforcement get involved, then they're still bringing people on, and there's still people promoting them.
I think one of the big ones that people may have heard of is the OneCoin, even if you're not
right.
And interestingly, I want to go to the end there, because there was, and you're friends with him, and he has a chapter in your book, Jamie Bartlett from the BBC did a piece called The Crypto Queen. But towards the very end, it was a total expose and explained it step by step what was wrong with this Ponzi scheme. But towards the end, I think he did a supplemental episode. And he said because he had brought light onto this scheme, which is a scam, it had started up again. So even right. though the BBC podcast was saying this is, you know, he went through it all and why was it a scam, it was sufficient. This people who were selling the coin again were saying, well, it was featured on the BBC. They didn't say quite why, and that's right. scary. So yeah. that's one of them. So can you explain the OneCoin, why that was so pernicious is the word.
Well, if anyone hasn't heard the BBC's Missing Crypto Queen podcast series, absolutely listen to it. It's incredible.
It'll educate you.
Just an amazing job of it, and you know they've gone to such lengths to research it. It's an incredible bit of investigative journalism. And just fascinating listening and why the OneCoin got so big. And you know, for the Crypto Awards book, I'm totally indebted to Jamie, who was very patient and spent lots of time on the phone, you know, explaining it to me. But why the OneCoin got so big, because it was the first one, it was sort of the first crypto project that blended multi-level marketing with crypto. And this is where they got clever. Before you had with crypto, you know, there were various get rich quick schemes being offered, you know, and various different scams being offered. But OneCoin was the first one that really sort of blended the incentivized multi-level marketing structure with crypto. And it had these two co-founders, Ruja, who sort of understood the if we create this cryptocurrency and you know, make everybody believe that it's going to go up in value. And then they blended it with a guy, Sebastian, who was just a multi-level marketing expert. And it got big. And I think, I mean, certainly it seems to be that, I mean, it got, you know, it got out of control big. It doesn't look like they perhaps ever imagined it would get so big. It just went viral and people bought in. And of course, initially they paid out and they had this incredible reward structure where people did very well for bringing other people in. And it looked good and they made all these promises and they had all these big shows and these big events and celebrated. And
the main character, she was quite a theatrical. She'd wear wouldn't she, a big red ball gown on stage.
You know, clearly very confident and very elegant and wore these big diamonds and was, you know, very, very confident public speaker. And that they bought, I mean, as far as everybody could see, well, she'd been featured in The Economist, she'd been featured in Forbes and in all these, you know, big publications. And, you know, what they sort of failed to mention was that was it, in fact, paid for advertising and where they'd sort of paid for adverts to, you know,
and
to
it
look
was
like
inside
the front
page.
Cover of Forbes.
It wasn't
right.
actually the front page.
Yeah, yes. and sponsored and, you know, The Economist did sponsored an event and so forth. So it was all paid for press, but still, you know, it made it look good. And you know, it's so easy to see because you've got this woman who'd been, you know, educated. I forgot at which uni, was it Oxford University? But she was
a doctor, wasn't she?
Really, yeah. So she was a doctor. She was well educated, clearly intelligent, very, very good at presenting. And they made all these promises. And what one also has to remember, I mean, crypto, I mean, still isn't regulated, but at the time wasn't regulated. Regulators didn't understand what they were doing. The sort of the law enforcement started to look at it and then dropped the case entirely, which again, OneCoin used in their promotion to be like, hey, yep, look, they've looked at this and they've dropped the case, so all is good. And that was a failing. And this was before, you know, before awareness and understanding of crypto is what it is. So yeah. OneCoin didn't even have a cryptocurrency, didn't even have a blockchain.
They hired somebody in and there was no blockchain. There was nothing. There was this, they had this database on a laptop someplace and said, oh, look, your money's gone up. And it was just somebody feeding in figures back at the base.
Literally just tweaking the numbers. But the thing is now, because with blockchain and with cryptocurrency, one of the sort of the real benefits of it is that it's very transparent. You can see what's got what. If there's a wallet, you can see what it's got in it. If you send a transaction, you can see who's got that and who's received that. And there's now different sort of blockchain analytics firms and softwares that can really track crypto transactions and see exactly what's happened and who's got what and verify all of these things. And so now it would have been very, very quick to disprove that within a second. But it's, you know, it's easy to forget that, you know, that OneCoin started, I think it was 2014. And that was still very, very early on.
They called itself the game Bitcoin Killer, didn't it? It was
yeah. And you know, this was at a time when Bitcoin wasn't high, and you know, people, it didn't have the same sort of adoption. You didn't have the same security and the same technologies and tracing abilities that you have now. So where now it would be very easy to sort of to look at OneCoin and see, oh, well, this clearly is into crypto. A lot of the technologies that we have available now weren't available then. And also OneCoin and these scams, they don't target people in crypto. They don't target the people who would be able to go to tell that. They go after people who don't necessarily have the resources to be able to research it, or wouldn't think to research it, or people that don't even have the internet, so that they can't necessarily research what they're getting into. And because it's people buying off people they know, they wouldn't necessarily question that. So it just got very, very big very quickly.
I think the thing that upset me about that, it's a 6 or 8 part series now, it was absolutely fascinating. Well, the thing, two things upset me. One woman who was in Scotland, again, you were saying she came early, she made money, and she got all her friends and family in. So it all blew up. It wasn't just her money that had been lost, it was her family money. And she was just horrified. And there was a young man who, from an African country.
Uganda.
And he couldn't go back to his village because he thought, this is how I'll get my village out of poverty. I mean, he went with the purest of intentions, thinking he could help his village.
Yeah.
They all invested and they all lost their money. So he can't go home anymore. And I just thought, oh, if I can curse on radio the bar stewards.
Yeah.
You know, I really, 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 I just thought that was vicious. What, and you know, it's so nasty because people are doing it to their family and friends. And that's it's, as you say yourself, it's not like out and out gangsters selling stuff to you. It's your family and trusted friends that sold it to you.
Oh, no, exactly. And that is the worst of it. It really was just people. It spread so pervasively. And for everybody who knew what they were doing by promoting it and were just doing it for the money, a lot of it really was just people that were, you know, innocently bringing in their friends and families, and now feel guilty for that. But the thing is, I mean, that was OneCoin, and it's still going to a much smaller degree now. But there are these scams still popping up. You know, there's a new one out of London that we heard of only a few months ago that's doing exactly the same thing around the world. And, you know, the SEC are now sort of starting to look into it. But these scams are still happening, still starting. And I think the problem in the space, because there's not sort of, we don't have regulation yet. It's being very, very slow at stepping in. There's no sort of, you know, blue tick of approval for those companies that are good, and you know, and you know, red flag for those that aren't. And then the reality is for companies that are sort of trying to not scam people, they can't really say very much about what they're doing. Whereas the scams, they'll, you know, they say, well, we're listed on this global stock exchange, we've got this partnership with this, you know, this card issuer or this payment provider or this bank, or we've been audited by so-and-so, or we've been regulated by so-and-so. And they say that quite, you know, sort of blatantly. And, you know, sometimes, you know, those people that they're claiming to have partnerships with will go after them and they'll have to take that off. But they're making these claims. And then because it's put on their website and they've got, you know, the logos of the companies they're claiming to have these partnerships with, people believe it and people trust it. Whereas perhaps if it were regulated, it would be easier for the sort of the good companies to stand out.
To go and look for something, yeah. Oh, is it listed on the local FIMA or SEC website? It's been approved. So
right.
If people are looking, so I mean, obviously they can go and read your book, The Crypto Wars, Faked Deaths, Missing Billions and Industry Disruption. So to get a full figure, what advice would you give to somebody who's maybe new to the space and thinks, well, okay, I wouldn't mind, because we can't all work on it. So maybe they want to invest in something or to look at something. How would you help them navigate the strange waters that are crypto?
I mean, in crypto, I think it's, you know, the main thing is just do a ton of research and know exactly what you're actually getting into. And, you know, unfortunately, don't trust anybody really. But I mean, there are a few sort of common tactics used by scams. You know, that they'll say, they'll guarantee a certain return, or they'll promise a certain return, or they say, well, if you send us this money, you'll get 1% a day, or whatever it is. And if anything guarantees or promises a return, I mean, A, that's just simply not possible to do. If there's no sort of bank or trading firm in the world that can guarantee returns, I mean, certainly even the best, you know, in investors and best sort of trading algorithms can't do that, and sometimes lose money, and certainly don't get anywhere near like those returns. So any guarantees or promises of returns run a million miles. That's simply not possible to provide or to promise. And then also you have to be very, very careful about who you choose to follow. And there's now a lot of celebrities and influencers that have been caught up either themselves promoting scams, sometimes knowingly, sometimes not knowingly, presumably not knowingly, but they just haven't done the research needed, or their social medias get hacked or get impersonated. So it maybe very well looks like it's a certain celebrity or influencer or whatever promoting a scam or promoting a project, and it isn't in fact them. So you do have to be very, very careful, either. And there have been celebrities who've, you know, almost gone out of their way to manipulate the markets because they hold enough of sort of certain cryptocurrencies that they know by sending markets up one way or down another way, they stand to make a lot of money, and they know they've got enough followers that their tweets or their sort of social media posts will influence the markets enough for them to make a lot of money. So you really can't trust anybody in the space. And then I think the other sort of main thing to look out for is websites and email addresses and so forth. There might be a one letter that's just off or different. So there's websites that are made and look exactly like the real thing, or exactly like a good website, and it's very, very hard to tell that it isn't a real thing, and they'll list publicly, and so you just have to be very careful. And it's, the thing is, it's easy to be sort of very wary of scams and so forth in crypto. And I think it is worth adding that, you know, crypto isn't all bad by any definition of the word, and scams and these things have increased so much in general, largely due to lockdown, largely due to these sort of scammers just getting more sophisticated and having access to best tools to fool people, and people being at home more. So it isn't just a crypto thing by any definition of the word, and I've seen the same sort of scams repeated in other industries and other spaces, you know, be that on various listing marketplaces and so forth.
So unrealistic expectations and guaranteed returns, that's a big red flag, which it should be, because if it's too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. And then secondly is checking out the websites, you're saying, making sure they actually are. And that's quite hard to pinpoint sometimes if it's a very close to what looks like a regular name.
It can be very hard. I've heard of a lot of people that have really fallen for that. Yeah.
Somebody actually shared recently in one of the WhatsApp groups, and they said, what's the difference between these two websites? I couldn't see it. And then they finally said it was even like the letter A in the actual letter and part of the name. It wasn't a regular letter. It was a different alphabet letter. It looked right, just like the A, but it wasn't. It was a different one. That's how it was. I wouldn't have spotted that. So it is right, quite scary. And then also, I suppose, at the end of the day, if you are going to look at these projects, never invest anything that you can't afford to lose. You know, yeah, that's, you know, don't put the house on it. You know, don't, you know, it's the ultimate safety thing is not, because it's a gamble at the end of the day if you are going to invest in something like that. So, wow. So people want to buy your book, Erica, where do they go?
The book is available from Amazon and from every good sort of book retailer in the UK and internationally. So my inclination is to say, please go to your local bookseller and get it from there. But it's also available from Amazon for ease or also from the Kogan page. That's the publisher's website, so koganpage.com, and they've given a discount code of 20%. So it's CryptoWars2020 for a 20% discount from them.
Brilliant. Thank you very much for your time. I hope people have been listening. Don't be scared off. We're just talking about next time we'll talk about the good parts of crypto. Today it was just all the scams and how to be aware of what's happening. Thank you so much, Erica, for your time today.
Thank you for having me on.
Thank you for listening to the latest Irish Tech News podcast. Check back every day for the latest episode. You can follow us on Twitter @Irish_TechNews, on Facebook, facebook.com/IrishTechNews. On LinkedIn, linkedin.com/company/Irish-tech-news. On Instagram, instagram.com/IrishTechNews.ie. And on TikTok, tiktok.com/@IrishTechNews.